Our children are dismissed for children's church. May the Lord give us more children that we can teach about Jesus. Let's pray together as we start. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is the key for us to know it and to understand it and apply it so that we can become more like Jesus. Lord, it's such a wonderful thing that your word is so powerful. It's like a double-edged sword that cuts and but also at the same time helps us. It's a wonderful thing. Lord, give us great knowledge of it, great insight of it, and help us to use it as we walk with you in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And today I'll just read it for you because it's kind of a longer passage. And I think your legs need some rest today, so I'll give you a break from standing up. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 10, verse 5 through verse 21. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or 'Who will descend into the deep?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, it's through your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, 'Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.' But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I asked, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, 'I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding.' And Isaiah boldly says, 'I have found by those who did not seek me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me.' But concerning Israel, he says, 'All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people.'" It's quite a chunk of scripture, isn't it? Well, a lot of verses, but certainly wonderful verses about righteousness for everyone who believes. And you find that phrase in verse 4 of the preceding part of chapter 10. Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. And I think that is the theme that goes all the way down through the rest of chapter 10. Well, righteousness, that's what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Does anybody know that song? There's a song that goes that way. How many of you know that song? Okay, we may get a chance to sing that today. You'll have to help me. My boys say, Dad, don't sing, whatever you do. But, okay, you'll have to help me later on. But Romans speaks a lot about righteousness, being right with God. You know, as we start, answer these two questions for me today. First question, you might just write it down. You don't have to verbally tell me. First question, is a person saved by what they do or by what they believe? Is a person saved by what they do, profession they have maybe, or what they believe? Second question, is salvation really available to everyone? Is it really available to every person? Is it? Well, these chapters that we're reading, chapters 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, really bring about our thinking and challenge our thinking about God's sovereignty, that God is in control of everything. God rules. He does. We know that. And verse 10, or chapter 10 here, we start seeing about God or man's responsibility. Are we responsible to respond to God? Are we responsible for that? Well, those are big questions, aren't they? They're hard to understand. And it involves this idea of election. And Warren Wiersbe said, try to explain election and you will lose your mind. But try to explain it away and you'll lose your soul. And Tim Keller helps us maybe a little bit by saying, try not to understand election completely, but instead, praise God's wisdom and power for what he's done in the lives of believers. So if God is absolutely sovereign, how responsible are we to respond to the word of God? How responsible are we? Well, let's look at five descriptions of righteousness today that you can find in this passage. Five descriptions of righteousness. First of all, righteousness is available to us. Look at verses 5 through 8. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heavens, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. So Paul begins his discussion with a contrast about righteousness. It's on the one side, righteousness and a life of faith is the second thing he's going to speak about. Righteousness, we know, is not possible by keeping the law. Theoretically, a man who could keep the law perfectly would be righteous. Do and live, Leviticus 18:5 says. But no one could. The passage that Gary read for us, you know, God told them directly, do and live. Obey all my commandments with all your heart, and I will bless you. But, you know, they all died. Before that, they ate manna in the desert, and they died. Not one was able to keep the law that God, maybe outwardly, but they left something out. They left the heart out of the issue. And you know, the Jews, they knew their history. You talk with Jewish people today, they know their history. I have Jewish friends and I've talked to them, and they know the Old Testament better than I do sometimes. They should have known this, but they somehow couldn't grasp this. Paul tells us that righteousness is by faith. Now, I think it's so hard because it's so uncomplicated. It's so simple. It's by faith. It's not difficult. We can't help Christ in his incarnation. We can't help Christ in his resurrection. God himself did all that. All that's left for us to do is believe, trust, depend upon what God has already done for us by sending Jesus to the cross to die in our place. The Word is very near to us, accessible to each one of us, explained in this gospel message that is all the way through the book of Romans. And last week, Cindy gave her little talk about her trip to Portugal. And one of the things that she told us was that when they were in Portugal, they found out that Pope had said that 2021 was a year of Jubilee. So he said that if a person walks the St. James Way in Europe and meets with a priest and does penance, all of his sins will be forgiven. Past, present, future, they're all forgiven just by doing those things. But the Bible teaches something different. The Bible teaches us that righteousness, having our sins forgiven, is available to us right where we are sitting right now. You don't have to go on a walk. You don't have to do penance. It's not by paying money or anything else. We just accept the sacrifice that has been paid on the cross for Jesus, by Jesus, for us. So it's available. Righteousness is available to us through Christ. The second description of righteousness is righteousness is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. It involves this thing right here, our heart. Look at verses 9 through 13. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Jews did a pretty good job by obeying the law outwardly. And twice, Jesus would say to them, he would quote Hosea 6:6 and say, you know, guys, God desires mercy and not sacrifice and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. They're very good doing all that kind of stuff, but their heart was different, was distant from what God wanted them to be like. Because righteousness is a heart issue. The Jews didn't believe in their hearts. But it's with a heart that a person believes. When he talks about a person's heart, we're talking about his total personality. His entire being is committed to this. And salvation is offered to all people today, Jews and Gentiles. It says, whoever believes shall not be ashamed. These people who will not be ashamed believe that Jesus is their Lord. He's their master. He owns everything. And they believe that God raised him from the dead, resurrected him. And because of that, they talk openly and freely about that, because what they now have in their hearts overflows from their mouths. Most of you know that we have three sons. They're adult boys now with their own families. But when our oldest son was 3 and a half, he accepted Christ as his Savior. He was with Cindy. We were at the Ashland Grace Brethren Church on West Main. And we're talking about this week, it must have been like November, because there was a wreath hanging on the door to the ladies' lounge there. And the wreath had like thorns in it. And there was a cross in the middle of that wreath. And he was holding Cindy's hand, and he looked up at his mom, and he said, "You know, I know what that wreath means, Mommy. Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins. And if I believe, if I trust in him alone for my salvation and pray to him for forgiveness of my sins will be forgiven." And Cindy was kind of shocked. And she looked at him and said, just simply, "Do you want to do that? Do you want to pray, David, right now that Jesus would forgive your sins and be your Savior?" And he said, yes. And they prayed. And David became a child of God. And he has led his family that way. It's stuck. It was a real decision. All of his children now have received Jesus as their Savior. It's amazing, amazing thing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Even a 3-year-old little boy who believes in his heart that God gave his son to die for his sins will be saved. Everyone. It's amazing, isn't it? Everyone. So righteousness is available to us, verses 5 through 8. Righteousness is a heart issue. It's a heart issue, verses 9 through 13. And righteousness is available through the message that God's servants share. Look at verses 14 through 15. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they were sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." You know, throughout Romans 10, 5 through 21, Paul goes back and forth from the Old Testament in speaking, I think, with Jewish Christians in Rome. And he quotes the Old Testament 12 times. 12 times, and then he explains it, explains how the gospel fits, how this all fits with the gospel message in order to convict these people about the need for the gospel and what the gospel does for us after we receive it. So in these verses, Paul shows us that not only was the gospel intended for all, but it was to be shared with all. It was to be explained to every person out there. And he deals with four questions that people often have about the gospel. You see them. You see them, the question marks in verses 14 through 15. It's a question. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? They can't. They can't call if they have not believed. Or how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? They can't believe if they haven't heard. Or how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Preaching there means explaining, proclaiming, talking to them. Not necessarily what I do every Sunday, but every one of us teaches people throughout the week by the way we act or the way we talk. And how can they preach unless they are sent, like we're doing with some of our people, sending them to Finley this Sunday, but also other missionaries that we send out. We're doing that. Responsibility for sharing the gospel, the message of salvation, lies upon us as believers. Nobody else is going to do that. God has called us to do that, to share this beautiful message of salvation. It's free. It's a gift. You don't have to do the trip in Portugal. You don't have to do penance with a priest. You don't have to pay all of your money to the Catholic Church. It's all free. It's free by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. Just ordinary people sharing an extraordinary soul-saving message with lost people so that people might believe. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's a quote from Isaiah 52:7. Only God's people, God's servants, have the message that helps people. And God sent us with this beautiful message of salvation. I saw something this week that reminded me of just how eager we should be in talking with people about this. On Thursday morning, I was playing pickleball at the Ashland Y against Carlos Campos, who is the president of Ashland University. And of course, I beat him again, you know. So he's never been able to beat me. He's getting better, but he didn't beat me. But afterwards, you know, he saw some other people there that had shirts on that said Ashland University on it. And he's the president of Ashland University. So he got out his wallet, and he walked around, and he gave, I can't find a dollar. But he gave a dollar bill to every single person there who had that shirt on. You know, why did he do that? Because he believes in Ashland University. He doesn't have any reservations about it at all. I like it that you got that shirt on. It makes a difference in somebody's life according to the way he thinks. And that's the way we should be too. No reservations about telling other people, lost people, about Jesus, because we are totally committed to this. We absolutely know that Jesus changes lives. He saves people from their sins, and he makes them, I want to say happy, but joyful. You know what I'm trying to say. He makes people good on the inside. It just kind of shines out through them. Righteousness is a hard issue. Righteousness is available through the message that God's servants share. We joyfully share this message with people. Fourth description of righteousness that I found in this passage is found in verses 16 through 17. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? ? Consequently, faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You know, perhaps at this point, Jewish people who are listening to Paul might have had a question. They might have asked, faith? Faith? That's hard. How can I get faith? What Paul says here is how you get faith. This is the way that you get faith. Faith comes through hearing the word of God. One of the people that I respect a lot is this guy named Dr. Alva J. McLean. And Dr. Alva J. McLean writes this about these verses. He says, if you want more faith, do you pray for it? He says, no. What you do is listen to the word of God and accept the word of God, and your faith will grow. How can a person believe something unless he knows it? So if you want a big faith, very simply, very plainly, just feed on the words of this book. That's where faith comes from. Faith comes from the message that is recorded for us in the words of this book, the very words themselves. Everything in this book is absolutely true. Fifth description of righteousness we find in verses 18 through 21. Righteousness is constantly available to who? The Jews and the Gentiles. To the Jews and the Gentiles. He says, but I ask, You might say, for that time, it was all nations. You know, they understood all nations as being the peoples who lived around the Mediterranean Sea, the people that they knew about, all nations. We know there are more people today than that. But I asked, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Again, I asked, did Israel not understand? First, Moses said, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. So Paul concludes this chapter by asking two questions about the nation of Israel. Did they not hear? That's the first question. Secondly, did they not understand? And then he quotes the Old Testament three times to silence these objections. They did hear. They did understand, but they refused to submit to God, even though the message was held out to them constantly. Because of their rejection of God's plan, God sent messengers to us, to the Gentiles, nations who heard the gospel and accepted it, nations who had no understanding at all of these things. But today, they understand, and they have passed their faith on to us so that we understand. The gospel is within reach of every man. Do you know Christ? Let's go back to the beginning. We had that song, Righteousness, Righteousness. That's what I long for. Let's sing that little hymn together. It's not a hymn, it's kind of a praise chorus. Just the part about righteousness. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me. So what do we do next? Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord. To yours, O Lord. So what did you discover about the questions we spoke about at the beginning today? Is a person saved by what they do? By trying to be good enough for God to keep all the rules? Is that what we're saved by? Or are we saved by what we believe? We believe with our heart these things, with our whole self. We believe. That's how we're saved. Is salvation really available to all? Or just the elect? Well, in verse 11, it says, anyone who trusts in him. And verse 13, it says, everyone who calls on him. Jesus died on the cross for every person so that whosoever believes might not perish but have eternal life. How about you today? Are you counted among those guys, the whosoevers who have put their faith alone in Christ for their salvation? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thanks for the word of God that is so straightforward. It's plain. It's simple. It's near to us and available. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless us and help us understand these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.